5 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. Welcome to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Man, I like when we can start shows, like when we pack a punch to start the show. And I don't know that many pack a better punch than this guy right here, CSU men's head basketball coach, Nico Medved. Coach, it is always fun to get you on the program. It's been too long already.
Well, I appreciate you having me, Brady. And yeah, it's that time of year, and it's good to be back and good to be talking some hoops.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's just, there's reports coming out every single day about what the Rams are picked to do, players picked to finish this way. David Roddy, of course, Isaiah Stevens, you know, the preseason polls coming out, picking the Rams to win the Mountain West. This Mountain West Conference, Coach, it's going to be absolutely crazy, isn't it?
I do. I feel like it's going to be as deep as I can remember. And I think I look at almost every program in the league, and you can say that, well, I think they got a chance to be better. So I think you're going to see a lot more depth. I think you also have, like everywhere else in the country, that phenomenon of adding fans back. So home court becomes something again like it wasn't last year. And if you follow the Mountain West, you know, going to the Pit, it's a tough place to play. Going to Thomas and Mack with fans, a tough place to play. I mean, I could go on and on, but it should be a really fun year, and we're looking forward to it.
Coach, do you feel any sense of pressure? Because, you know, over the last couple of years, we've just seen this Rams program continue to grow. And according to all the experts out there, picks, and we all know this, I mean, your program, it wasn't a secret last year. It's certainly not a secret now. Do you feel any extra sense of pressure going into this season with all the high expectations?
I mean, you know, to me, pressure is a privilege, you know, and if you have pressure it's because you're in a big game, right, where you want to be. I mean, as a competitor, I think you've got to want that and thrive for that. So no, I don't look at it that way. I think, you know, all the preseason talk and the polls and the attention and all that stuff, it's great. We're going to find out for real here, right, in less than 2 weeks. For every team in the country. And, you know, we've been a team the last few years that's maybe outperformed some people's expectations. And I didn't think preseason polls mattered then. And they really don't now. We know how difficult it's going to be and how we have to earn it. But, you know, Brady, at the same time, I think it's also cool. And I told our guys this, every one of these players and coaches, when they came here, we had a vision of the program we wanted to be, and we wanted to be in a place where expectations were high, where we felt like we could compete at the highest level of our league and have a chance to go to the NCAA tournament. That's what everybody wanted, and that's where we sit, you know, today. So again, to me, that's a privilege, and that's a testament to their hard work, and I think we have to embrace that, you know. And by embracing that doesn't mean by any stretch you arrived. I mean, my God, we this is going to be a war, and every game's going to be difficult. But I think we're ready for that and excited to get going.
You know, this roster, I mean, we're getting so used to this roster, bringing pretty much everybody back with a couple of really good additions. I'll get your thoughts on Chandler Jacobs, too. What does that mean to you, Coach? Because we're in this day and age where, I mean, I refreshed the Twitter box there and someone's entering the transfer portal. I mean, you have a tight-knit group.
We do. I think guys believe in what we're doing. They believe in each other. I think that guys feel like they're getting better as individuals, they're getting better as a team, and guys feel like they can accomplish, you know, all the goals that they want right here. And I think that that's awesome, and we're excited about that. And that's the thing with this group is we've got great guys and we've got talent. We've got some experience, you know, some older guys, and we also have continuity. And I think that's a good blend and hopefully one that'll get us through this tough slot of games we have.
Yeah, I'll ask you about that non-conference schedule soon, too. And obviously, the Mountain West schedule is going to be crazy. So you guys will certainly be battle-tested throughout the course of the season. David Roddy, such a great guy, Coach. Is he like one of the most unique basketball players that you've ever coached and been around? He's got such a unique skill set. And obviously, his body type's kind of different than what you see in most players at his position.
Yeah, he's the most unique that I've ever coached. And I always say it, he's one that could and can and does legitimately play all five positions on the court. And he can play bigger when he needs to. He can play smaller and skilled when he needs to. And he's very unique and just continues to get better and better. And I think he's had a terrific off season, and I think that as we're getting closer and closer, he keeps stringing together great days and great practices. And you know, typically when you do that, those things show up in a game. And so I'm really excited for him, and he's clearly one of our leaders. And and you know, Brady, when your best players are your best people, that's what makes my job so fun, and that's really what gives us the chance to have the kind of team that we have.
I think it's just so telling about your program, Coach. I asked David the other day. I said, "Hey, who's your best friend on the team?" And he just lists everybody on the roster. I mean, he went down the entire roster, and I just that's special. I mean, I know you know, some people go, "Oh, well, I don't think they're just being nice." No, you could see it. He's listing everybody and why he considers them to be so close. And I mean, that just says more and more about what you guys have been building these last few years.
I think that's great. I'm happy to hear him say that. I think the other thing with this group that I've loved is how competitive they are. And you know, if you come and watch us practice, these guys get after each other, and it can get, you know, tense at times. And but they never carry that off the floor. You know, they take a look and hey, we're here to make each other better. We're here to compete. And you know, you should want that from your teammate, you know, to get after you, to make it to make you better. And those guys are able to do that, to compete, but then, you know, they leave that in the gym and you know, off the court, they care about each other as people and their friends. And we have a lot of fun together too. So it's a fun group that way. And it's going to be a fun journey this year. And hopefully, you know, every season you go through, you have adversity, Brady, you have ups and downs. And what you hope is it's that that chemistry and character of these guys that allow us to get through those things and make us stronger.
We're talking to head coach for the Colorado State Rams, Nico Medved. Coach, talk to us about Chandler Jacobs. I mean, this is certainly a case. We're talking about David Roddy, Isaiah Stevens. I mean, the list, Kendall Moore, the list goes on and on of great players. And then you just bring in another stud. I heard you on a recent podcast say you think that Chandler Jacobs could be the best athlete in the conference.
He's a terrific athlete. He's long, quick, strong. He's obviously an older guy, you know, having already played 4 years of college basketball. And he just, you know, as he's finding his role on this team and what we need him to do and how he fits in and, you know, where he gets his shots, how he can help us on both ends of the floor. He's a great young man. And I really think he's got a chance to be a big part of what we're doing this year. And so he's been really good so far, along with a lot of other guys. And I tell you what, you know, my job is difficult this year deciding playing time, and but that's a good thing with how competitive it's been.
I always think head coaches, that's such a challenge too when you have so many great players. It's awesome, but like you just said, it's also going to present a very unique challenge as far as playing time and making sure, you know, you get guys kind of in their rhythm.
Yeah, absolutely. Every team is different, Brady. You know, yeah, we have a lot of guys coming back, the majority of our roster from last year, and there's some things that you take away from that, but what you realize is every season stands on its own. This is a new year, a new group of guys playing a new schedule, and just that there's going to be a different chemistry with this group, and I think we still are going to need to figure that out a little bit as we get playing these games. You know, I don't know that any team in the country is a finished product that way starting the season, even if they have a lot of guys coming back, just like we do. There's still a journey that you have to go through. And I think that, you know, roles will be different in some ways this year, maybe lineups, substitution patterns, those things. And just because it's a certain way in the first game doesn't mean it's going to be like that in February. I think that those things evolve and change throughout the season as well. But I think that's something that we're excited about. And the guys have just been terrific so far in practice, bringing it every day and have had a great mindset. I know they're ready to get going.
Man, Coach, I'm taking a look at this schedule again. I've looked at it before, but just I keep forgetting how much of a monster non-conference schedule this is. Obviously, starting things off Oral Roberts. You look down, St. Mary's is there. Alabama's there. This is a crazy schedule, and like we said, I mean, you guys, you're going to know a heck of a lot about your basketball team well before you get into conference play.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you start with the first game of the season, Oral Roberts. I've been watching film on, you know, them, and through last year in the NCAA tournament, they might be as hard of a team to guard that we'll play all season. So they pose a ton of problems that way. And obviously it's a confident team. It was in the Sweet 16 last year and has one of the best guards in the country on their team. But I think that's awesome for us, you know, to just come right out of the gate and challenge ourselves. And you can go on and on from there. But we're going to learn a lot about ourselves. We're going to have challenge ourselves against great competition, and we'll learn from it and grow from it. And hopefully we'll pick up some wins along the way.
Talking to Coach Nico Medved for the Colorado State Rams. And again, Coach, last one on the Mountain West Conference. I mean, this conference, we're talking in a day, you know, with football, constant realignment and putting yourself in the best position. And you know, football is what it is. But when you look at this program and you look at the Mountain West Conference as a whole, it sure doesn't feel like a mid-major. This feels like a monster conference.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at college basketball, I don't think this is a mid-major league. I mean, you're one of the best players in our league. You're a pro. You know, there's pros in this league. There's men. There's terrific coaches. There's big-time home court advantages of communities that care deeply about college basketball and have great tradition. It's a fun league that way. And I thought last year, even though there were no fans, you know, the television package that we have, you know, with Fox and CBS, I think saw so many more games on you know, network linear television, on national linear television, and I think that that's really going to continue to help the profile of the league. So yeah, I don't look at like that at all, and I think this is a multiple bid league and one that's going to continue to go in that direction.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up about the TV deal too. That's a unique opportunity now for more chances for Rams fans to watch you guys.
Absolutely. And you know, I haven't counted, but we have, you know, a lot of games on FS1 this year and CBS. And I think that's a great thing for our fans. And it's a great thing for the brand of the program and the league and the school and all those things. So, I think the Mountain West is continuing to be on the rise. And again, great coaches, talented players, and just great communities to really care and support basketball.
Coach, I almost slipped and asked you what you were doing, what your plans for Halloween were, but you guys are going to be pretty busy.
We'll be pretty busy. We got first exhibition game at 1 o'clock on Sunday, and people can come out, and still plenty of time to get home and trick or treat. And so, yeah, my day is already planned, Brady. A little bit of hoops, trick or treating, hopefully it's Sunday's a really good day here.
Yeah, no question about it. Last one for you. I'm watching the clips of Coach Farouk Manesh and David Roddy going at it. Who's winning that battle every day?
Oh, man. I mean, God bless Coach Farouk Manesh, but I hope David's taking it to him, because that's a no contest right there. So, yeah.
I love that. I love seeing it. Coach, always appreciate you. Love this program. And I mean it when I say it. Your coaching staff, your players. I mean, you got a great feel. There's no question that fans love this team. But, man, the personalities, it's so fun to get to know all you guys.
Well, I really appreciate it. And I'm glad to hear that. And now, you know, now that we finally have the opportunity, come on, fans, get out and support these guys. Let's get out here to the Moby Arena and buy tickets and come and cheer these guys on, and let's build a great home court environment here. And they're worth cheering for, and Moby's such a fun place to watch a game when there's a great atmosphere.
No question. I agree. Fill that place up. Make that a special place throughout the course of the season. Coach, we'll catch up with you soon. We'll see you soon. Plan to get out to several games this year, so that'll be exciting. We'll talk to you then.
Thanks, Brady. Appreciate it.
All right. That's CSU head men's basketball coach Nico Medved. Exhibition game against Adams State on Sunday. That's 1 o'clock. And it is worth – look at all this, man. So they got a local deal with the Denver station, KCDO. So Channel 3, that's going to be on a lot of you know, their home games and stuff. Stadium will carry that Oral Roberts game. Have you watched a game on Stadium yet, Angel?
I have not.
It's free. I had no idea. My wife figured it out, and then she, like I said, she zapped it up onto the TV. I was watching Rams football. I can't remember which game it was. But so there's an opportunity to watch that Oral Roberts game. And then you look at this as you get into the Mountain West. I mean, they got FS1 several times. I'm seeing 8 times right there. CBS Network. So there's going to be no excuse not to see this team throughout the course of the season. It's going to be absolutely fun. And we announced this yesterday through a press release, but we will be doing the David Roddy show presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. Yeah, Susan and Cheryl like that. David Roddy is the best basketball player in the state. He's the best player on this in this conference. And Medved just said, if you're the best player in the Mountain West, you're a pro. You're a pro. So that, yeah, there's no doubt David Roddy's going to be playing at the next level. What level is that, though? That's, I guess, we'll see. This is going to be a big year for him. But we'll be doing that program on Wednesdays at 1 o'clock. And David is an amazing dude. He is a great guy. So getting to know him just in our dealings the last couple of months, getting this show set, has been really, really fun to get to know him. All right, we'll take a short break. 20 minutes after the hour, the Broncos, Kenny Young, he doesn't sound extremely thrilled about being a Bronco. Well, you go from a 6-1 team to a 3-4 team that nobody knows what the hell they're going to do. Our Power to Play Sports poll question is Broncos question. I'm just asking it outright. You guys think I'm crazy. Are the Broncos going to finish the season with a winning record? We'll be right back.
Want sports from the coach? Tune in to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Okay, yeah. That is so good. I mean, Angel, I don't know if you are ever a WCW guy or WWF or E or whatever. No? Not really your jam?
I didn't get really into it.
Oh,
no.
So you have no idea what this is?
No. I mean, I know what the WWE is.
Yeah, but this is WCW.
No, all the intro music, characters, I know none of that.
Oh, dude, this is good. That's, yeah. The Wolfpack. NWO. The Wolfpack. Kevin Nash. Scott Hall. Scott Steiner. I mean, that's when Hulk Hogan became Hollywood Hulk Hogan. He became a bad guy. He turned heel, Angel. This was big stuff. Breaking news. Dude, I could do a whole podcast about 1990s WCW.
I would love to hear that.
Oh, dude. Seriously?
That's like a refresher course for me. I need that.
Oh, my gosh.
No, I mean, I had friends growing up that were huge, like Triple H fans,
oh, yeah.
You know, Undertaker, all those guys.
I was one of those guys that didn't get into WWF. It was WWF at the time because I was holding out hope that the WCW would win this battle because they had a ratings battle. They were used to be competition. And then the WWF just took off. WCW just lost it, man. I mean, it was bad. It got really bad toward the end.
Do you watch any of that All Elite Wrestling?
I don't watch anymore. No? I'll see clips on social media. My brother and I were diehards. We were into this stuff. So it takes me back. I'll watch old clips. Like freaking Bill Goldberg, man. Undefeated forever. I mean, that was, so I don't watch it anymore. If it's on randomly, like Monday Night Raw, I'll put it on real quick. And then I'm just like, I have no idea who any of these guys are anymore. I'm still Sting and Ric Flair. I mean, I don't think Flair's doing it anymore, but you still see some of these guys that I grew up watching, and they're still out there painting the face, doing everything, man.
Yeah, I mean, I knew who Hulk Hogan was, Macho Man Randy Savage,
oh, yeah, Macho
CM Punk.
Man.
I knew all those guys. Yeah. I didn't watch them, but I knew who they were.
Yeah, I watched a recent, and I'll finish with this, I watched a recent interview with Kevin Nash. And he said the day he knew the WCW was going to lose to the WWF, because they all went back and forth, and he went to the WCW. And the whole idea was that it was going to be Kevin Nash and Scott Hall taking over the WCW. And the guy that was running the show, Eric Bischoff, was like, we're going to put the WWF out of business. We're going to put Vince McMahon out of business. Nash is like, dude, even though that one night was kind of crazy with Nash and Hall interrupting a match, he's like, the idea that two dudes came from the WWF to the WCW and can beat everybody is a bad look. The entire wrestling roster can't beat two dudes from the WWF. It was crazy. Nutty times, man. All right.
The most electrifying man in all of entertainment.
Yeah, well, that guy. I mean, I The Rock, he was amazing. Did you ever, none of that stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I knew, that's how I figured out who The Rock was.
The best.
That.
He was so entertaining. Holyoke, Rey Mysterio. Dude, do you remember when Rey Mysterio beat Kevin Nash? One of the greatest. So, pay-per-view, Angel. Pay-per-view, my brother and I ordered it. Rey Mysterio loses in the tag team match. Oh, my gosh. Rey Mysterio and Conan going at it with Nash and Hall. It was a mask. If you lose, you got to take the mask off. And they removed the mask from Rey Mysterio. The very next night, Monday night, he challenged Nash to just a wrestling back. Nash is beating the hell out of him, you know, and he picks him up to powerbomb him. And Rey starts punching him, knocks him down. The giant falls, grabs his legs, pins him, boom. Rey Mysterio beats him, getting his kick the whole time, and then runs off and wins. It's Rey Mysterio. He was so much fun to watch. Yeah, thank you for that, Holyoke. Double A, badass Billy Gunn and Stone Cold Steve Austin. Yeah. Oh, you didn't know? Yeah, dude. What are we doing this right now? Are we
this
getting
just
into
turned
this?
Into a wrestling
Did this
show?
Just turn into a wrestling show?
We had topics to get to.
I have so many topics to get to. But I mean, you guys are just keep naming wrestlers. I saw a clip about Buff Bagwell the other day. That doesn't ring a bell?
No.
Golly, dude.
I know like the mainstream popular guys, but
yeah, Buff Bagwell.
You could say a random name and I'd probably be like, "Yeah.
Oh yeah, that guy.
He's great."
Dude, there was some crazy stuff. And you know, when you're little, you kind of get yourself wrapped up in it. And more or less, you're like, is this real? And they're like, Undertaker's coming out, doing seances and sacrificing Stephanie McMahon on the cross in the ring. And you're just like, what is happening? I don't know, but I'm in.
I do love that one clip of Vince McMahon. He like jumps in the ring and somehow destroys his knees. Like. And he's just sitting there on the mat because he can't get up.
Oh, and I mean some of the finishing moves, man. They're like, that wouldn't do it, would it? Double A says childhood, man, bringing back some memories, dude. Those were the day. And then you get on the trampoline, and I'll never forget this. Speaking of Triple H, you know his move. Triple H married Stephanie McMahon. Yeah, Triple H that had the pedigree. Put your head between his legs, pull your arms up, drop your face to the ground. I had a friend who's like, let's do WWF moves. And I pedigreed him. I was supposed to catch him with my leg. I smashed his face into the ground, dude. Bloody nose, everything. Very embarrassing for him. Not me so much, because I executed the move to perfection. And I think I would have pinned him if it would have worked. But
And did you use any of those moves in your wrestling career?
No, I wanted to, though. I did wrestle in junior high. I did. I did wrestle in junior high. 33 minutes after the hour. Okay. All right. You guys just start bringing names in. I need more names. Take me back, too. Kevin Lytle's going to join me. Is Kevin Lytle public enemy number one for the Colorado State Rams?
We have access to him?
We have access to Kevin. We do. Yes. We're going to get him on the show. He's actually going to be in studio later today for college football kickoff as well. So we'll talk to Kevin next. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKN.
Oh, that's perfect. You know that? That's Stone Cold Steve Austin, Angel. Is this how Kevin's walking around outside the stadium because CSU media, CSU's locking out media this week. Kevin Lytle, my friend, how are you, man?
I'm doing good, Brady. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Bummer of a game for Colorado State. The loss is one thing, losing to Utah State. Of course, as we've talked about, the way this team lost, another big-time special teams issue, kind of has everybody on lockdown right now. We saw your tweet a couple of days ago. CSU football side of things said no media this week.
Yeah, definitely. They've kind of locked things down after the Monday press conference. No access Tuesday or Wednesday, which, you know, like I said, basically just hurts fans who just want info about the team. But anyway, we're heading into Saturday and a really, really big game. And yeah, you're right that ending at Utah State, pretty wild finish and a really weird game overall.
Yeah, it really was. And again, the Rams found themselves in a position to win. Todd Senteo, a heck of a drive to get down there. They get the first down. We know how it goes. They didn't spike it. I would add, you know, any more clarity on that? Did anybody tell the kicking team to run out? Did you get any more Monday? Because again, I know nothing much after the fact.
Yeah, everything Steve Addazio said both post-game and then again Monday was that the call to send the unit, field goal unit, on was never made. Basically, they were there and ready in case, you know, the third down pass, if it ended up short of a first, they obviously would have had to rush on because the clock would have been ticking. But They kind of went on Monday. Addazio said needed more sideline restraint, which obviously could mean kind of several different things, but still said that the call was never made. You know, he calls it, it's the mayday call for them, is the kind of rushed field goal unit. So yeah, just kind of a chaotic, weird mishap that, you know, as we've said, is kind of unacceptable. You have to be ready for that situation. They did get a field goal off. Frankly, they were lucky that the refs didn't flag it because, the Ken Camper, the kicker, was moving forward at the time of the snap. The offensive line wasn't set. Also, it could have been a flag, which would have led to a runoff, a 10-second runoff anyway. But clearly that the rushed, hurriedness of the field goal definitely affected Camper. And he was still pretty close. It wasn't like he terribly shanked it, but pulled it wide left.
Yeah, you know, it was, you're right. It wasn't that bad of a kick. But, you know, you think, man, he's been rolling, too. He's been so hot as far as kicking field goals. You think, man, maybe if he had some time just to ease out there and do the regular routine of kicking a field goal, maybe he makes that thing. It's so tough, too, because I get it. I'm the same way. I tweeted right after the game, hey, who's the special teams coach again? Talking about Addazio. But On the player's side of it, I guess I scratch my head. I know it was chaotic. I know it was nuts. But it's like, your Division I football players, you'd think they'd see the first down and go, okay, we're going to spike it. We have some time. But again, chaos.
Yeah, and that's where, you know, maybe the untold bit of the story of is exactly how it went down. You know, what was there maybe a call that someone, you know, unauthorized to make the call made? Was there, you know, I've wondered if there's almost body language, you know, if someone was kind of holding the kick unit back and then sort of let their arms down and they thought that was the signal. Obviously, like I say, just clear miscommunication. And, yeah, obviously the players should know that's the first down and everything. You know, if you watch the video, it's very clear that Centeio and the offense are planning to spike the ball. You know, they're rushing up to the line, then you can kind of see Centeio look over, see that at that point Caden Camper was behind him. It was like Centeio was under center and Camper was in a shotgun snap, and it's like uh-oh, and he basically realized like, oh boy, I better get off the field here real quick. So yeah, clearly miscommunication, and like I say, that, you know, that goes back to the preparation of it. Obviously not everyone was on the same page there, and yeah, clearly needed to be.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Kevin, it's been tense, it seems like, between Colorado State football, Coach Addazio, yourself specifically, other media members. It just seems like it's been intense this year. And I know sometimes when you're losing, of course, when they were 0-2, things were really crazy. But it just seems like things are so much different than they were under Coach Bobo as far as his football program.
Yeah, I'd say there's definitely some tenseness. You know, it's pretty clear that this staff as a whole is very aware of what's being written and said about them and everything. And like you say, obviously when teams are losing, things are, you know, less rosy. And in some ways, I think we've seen that, you know, they like to use that as motivation, you know, go to the team and say, hey, look, you know, it's us against, you know, us against the world, that mindset. And so, you know, kind of use that in some ways too. And, you know, whatever, you know, teams that want to use whatever kind of mindset tricks they want to use, that makes sense, that's fine. But you know, it's also one of those where there's plenty of, you know, good positive things that are, you know, written and said as well, and they probably don't make as much of a big deal about those either as well. So I doubt they're in the locker room saying, hey, look at this great Ryan Stonehouse feature or whatever. Yeah, always have to work Stoney in. It's one of those. It's kind of a roller coaster this season so far. Some pretty bad and some really good. And we're 7 weeks in. It's been very up and down.
Yeah, it really has. And Kevin, for you, what's more interesting about this for me watching this is you have always been, in my opinion, kind of the, you know, the good go-between. You're going to write critical stuff of the Rams when they're, you know, when criticism is warranted. But you had a good relationship with the coaches, with you know, the guys, the sports and information people. So that's why this year it's like, wow, it definitely seems to have a different feel. Now, I don't get to get out to practice because of my radio show, but it does seem like it's a little bit tighter, and that's why it's shocking with me looking at your side of it. You've always seemed to kind of be that good go-between.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I try and do. I mean, have to say what's going on and be fair about that. But, you know, it's some people like say, oh, you know, they're out to get them, want them to lose, whatever. It's like, man, we don't want teams to lose. It's much better to cover. There's much more interest from readers when teams are winning. So that couldn't be further from the truth. But, you know, it's like I say, some people, you know, want to just see the negative side and, you know, only remember, you know, the quote-unquote negative stories. And, you know, I still feel like always doing both. I mean, just today published a story about how great the crowds have been and how great the energy around the stadium has been. So, you know, even with everything, you know, going on, you know, it's still both sides happen and some people want to see it, some people don't, and continue to just be out there. You know, that's what I'll say. We're there, win, lose, everything. You know, we were the only outlet at Iowa when CSU lost to Iowa. We were the only outlet at Toledo when CSU beat Toledo. We were the only outlet down at the basketball NIT in Texas last spring. So, you know, we're always there. Win or lose, we're going to be, you know, covering the Rams.
Yeah, and you've been doing it for quite some time. Do you foresee this being a new norm for football? They don't have media there, or is this just a Boise State week? We're frustrated. We're just going to do it this week.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine it would go on for too long. That would, frankly, become problematic if it did, because, you know, it's a public university, a coach paid by a public university, and, you know, a university that prides itself on what it says is transparency. So if it were to continue for a long time, that would certainly become problematic, but I don't necessarily expect that. I haven't been told, you know, that it, you know, this is a new standard or anything. So we'll see, but yeah, I think, Boise week, especially, you know, this is a really big one for the Rams. Never beat Boise State. Obviously that would be a huge streak to snap.
It would change a lot of things, wouldn't it? It does feel like the tone is back to, you know, Adazio's back in the doghouse. I mean, you win some big games, you start you off 2-0 in the conference, and then you lose, and then the way you lose certainly has some people calling for Adazio's job again. But if you find a way at home to beat a team you've never beat before, I would imagine that that narrative changes back to more of a positive for Steve Adazio coming on Monday.
And huge opportunity in the next 2 weeks. If you were to go 2-0, beat Boise for the first time, and then go up to Laramie and retain the bronze boot, things are feeling really good. You know, if you go 1-1, it's probably okay. I'm not even sure which way the 1-1 would be better for, you know, from a fan perspective. You could probably argue both sides. And then if you were to go 0-2, you know, that would be a very negative. But it's a great opportunity because, you know, Boise State is good, but they're definitely not your vintage, you know, Fiesta Boise State or anything. Wyoming, frankly, looks like they're in chaos right now. So it's a really great opportunity for CSU here.
What do you think, man? Do you think this team does it? I mean, this is the most beatable Boise State team we've seen in a while, but I still worry because they've had a heck of a schedule too. So when you look at that 3-4 record, it's, you know, it's not like they've been playing, you know, bad teams. They've been playing some really good teams.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely. I mean, they went into Provo and beat up Utah or BYU pretty good, and, you know, that's a pretty solid BYU team. So yeah, Boise State is good. The thing that worries me in many ways for CSU is Boise's come off a bye, so they've had a week not only to prepare but also just rest and, you know, get some guys healthy. So yeah, I'm sure we'll make our picks on the kickoff show later today, but right now I'm kind of leaning toward Boise, but I think it's going to be close, kind of like last week.
I think we're losing you, Kevin, on that note, but we're going to get you on the college football kickoff show. We'll get picks. We'll break everything down. And, hey, maybe the Rams win these next couple of games, and you and Steve Adazio, grab a beer or something and hug it out.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting 2 weeks. I'm excited to see what happens.
All right, my man. We'll see you soon. Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado. And, yeah, Rams lost to Utah State 26-24. We all know how it went down. Yeah, as long as this doesn't continue with the media thing, then you know what? I get it. I actually get it. More of a, hey, we're shutting it down. We're tired of talking about special teams. We're tired of that. We want to block out the outside noise. I personally think this is all the drama. I think it's great. I think it's great for CSU. You know, you want to talk about it. Oh, well, they're shutting out the media. What's going on over there? And then you go beat Boise. You follow it up with a win, though. You got to follow it up with a win. You beat Boise State. I think this kind of stuff is what helps grow. You want to have Kevin Lytle, who we really respect and appreciate on the show. You want to have him kind of be public enemy number one once in a while. I mean, some of the best writers, you know, you follow a team that has controversy even when they're winning. Saban's a controversial guy. The best writers are the ones that Nick Saban probably doesn't like.
I'd agree.
Yeah.
You know, it's the stories that are hard to write about and maybe not everyone wants to hear about, but it's a story.
Yeah. And it's, you know, again, if it's all X's and O's and negatives on football stuff, then it's all harmless to me anyway. But I, for one, think this kind of stuff is great. And it's great for the radio show as well. Kevin Lytle will be back on the station today or tonight. We'll have the college football kickoff show. We'll be talking to Chris Abshire as well. We're going to break into some in-depth CSU football talk. So you're not going to want to miss that at 5 o'clock. This is The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
Colorado's voice and your home for the Denver Broncos is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody. This is Dalton Reisner, 2019 draft prospect out of Wiggins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Nice text there from AA. Work, shoot us a text saying, love the show. Listen every day at work. Thanks for all you guys at KFK do for local sports. Love it. Try to make it over to the GOAT sometime. Want to catch a Husker game there. They do play the Nebraska Cornhuskers game there. Do you know that?
Well, they had like 30-something TVs, right?
Yeah, they had, so you can... Have your 36 to be exact, Angel. 36.
That's close.
I love the GOAT, man. That is the seriously. I mean, I've been to B Dubs, and there's still spots where you're like, I can't really see the. At the GOAT, there's literally no bad spot to watch the game. You might go there tonight.
Yeah,
the Wisconsin cheese curds. I heard those are like the bomb.
I think we got a football game on tonight, so
we do. That. We have a Thursday night special. I mean, the Thursday night special is on life support right now. It is on life support. So we desperately need a win tonight. This is going to be a great game, Arizona and Green Bay. Second hour coming up next. We'll talk Denver Nuggets. Nikola Jokic, did he practice today? What does that mean for tomorrow? We'll talk about it next.